Today is Saturday, the 23rd of March, 2024, and we are all gathered here for the 125th session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English Medium, conducted by Nisaramana Forest Monastery. And we have, to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero joining us, representing Nisaramana Forest Monastery. And I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante with great respect on behalf of all of us in the session today. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook of the Satipatthasala Foundation. Our program will commence with the in-session practice guided by Bhante, and then we will have the talk on the topic on mindfulness chosen for today, which is actually a continuation from last week's topic. And then we will move on to the question and answer session, where we present mindfulness-related questions and verbal questions and written questions to Bhante for advice. So to start things, I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll try to do a walk-in session to start our program. Now, for this, you need to find some space where you can walk comfortably. Maybe like 10-15 steps would do. Once you find your space, just walk in a comfortable manner and simply be present with the walking. Initially, you might not notice the walking. You might feel that your mind is all over the place. But that's fine. We just continue with the walking while trying to be present with it. Time to time, you may get thoughts, surrounding things might grab your attention, surrounding sights, sounds, these things grab your attention. But among all these things, you know that your body is walking. You can feel the walking in your body. You can feel the texture of the ground. You can feel the pressure points of your feet. You can feel how the weight is shifted between your legs. So that very knowing, that very mindfulness you can maintain. Naturally, your mind goes to different things, but you know that your body is walking. You can feel the body walking. Just try to continue with that walking body. Try to be present. Try to witness the walking. So as a group, let's try to do a walking session for a few minutes. Okay, everyone. Now you can return back to your seats. So that's few minutes of mindful walking, just to give you an idea about the practice. You have to practice on your own and see how the practice evolves. Namantha, with that you can take over.
Much thanks to Banti for the practice during session. Next, we have the talk on the topic scheduled for today. I will share the screen for the topic, and I would like to invite Venerable Banti again on behalf of all of us to commence with the talk on mindfulness. It's on topic of today's selection.
Okay, everyone. So this is a continuation from the last week. We are having the same topic for this week. And we discussed certain aspects of the topic last time. So today too, we'll take some time to discuss further and see how this topic can be relevant to our practice as well. Now, when it comes to addictions, it's a result of difficulties or suffering that you face in your life. You find you get into addictions as a way of releasing yourself, as a way of, you know, treating yourself. That's what you do. They have done a 12-year research on addictions, and they have figured it's a response to the suffering in this life. These people, they are not strong enough to face the difficulties of this life, the suffering of this life, and as a response, they create certain addictions. It could be drugs. It could be certain other addictions like gaming or social media. Various other addictions are there. So you can see it's not only drugs, but there are other ways of getting high. Various addictions, different addictions. So we are creating as a response to the suffering in this life. Because you can't deal with it, because you are not strong enough to deal with it, your mind, it is more like automatic response. Your mind creates certain addictions and somehow try to cope with these difficult situations. And this is a very much used, we are very much used to numb pain in our life. We are very much used to avoid pain in our life. How to numb pain? Sometimes you create these type of addictions. Sometimes you get high. By getting high on something else, you numb pain of your life, right? So this is a way to numb yourself to the pain of this life. We do this all the time. Let's say when we become sick, when we fall ill with some sickness, what do? We don't like this pain. We don't like this difficulty in our body and mind. What we do, we quickly take some painkillers and you numb yourself to the sickness or to the pain that the sickness is creating. So this is a good example to show you how we numb pain or the suffering in our life. So when it comes to greater deals, when it comes to greater things that you can't avoid, your mind will create certain addictions as a way of numbing your pain. Right? So this is what we do, and this is how it happens. Usually when it comes to addictions, in a short period, maybe within few years, you realize that this has become a addiction and it is harming you. It is harming your body. It is harming your mind. It is harming the people that are close to you. It is harming your ability to earn. So various ways are there. And soon you realize that this is not good. You want to get rid of this addiction. You want to stop this addiction. You know that it is harmful. Although you know that it is harmful, trying to stop an addiction, it doesn't work like that. More you try to stop, more you try to avoid, more power the addiction will get. Right? So that's the problem. How can we get rid of an addiction? How can we stop using? It's not easy. More you try, more power you will give to that addiction. In a way, you have created an identity with the addiction. You have create an identity with the addiction. So that's why most people, when they are not using, when they are trying to stop, they keep counting the days. They say that I am 10 days clean. I have been clean for a month. So that way they keep counting the days. What is the purpose of counting the days? Maybe when they start using again, they can tell the others that I have lived a month without using. I was able to live a month without using, without being addicted. So that way we try to stop addictions, we try to avoid them. But what happens is that in the process, you give more and more power to that very addiction that you are trying to avoid. So you have to understand it's not about simply stopping. It's not about simply avoiding. It is not that feasible. Instead, you have to create an alternative identity. Earlier, you have created an identity with the addiction. Now you have to create an alternative identity. That's the only way. Otherwise, you'll be creating, you'll be counting days, saying that you haven't used for 10 days, 1 month, but soon you'll go back to that bad habit. You'll become a victim to that very habit or the addiction that you are trying to avoid. So it's not about counting days. Then it's not about thinking how to avoid tomorrow, how to avoid next month, how to avoid a year. That way also sometimes you think, how can I continue tomorrow? How can I continue for a month? How can I continue for a year? So this way, either you count the past days or you try to count the future days, trying to stop using, trying to get rid of an addiction. So that too never works. You can't really think about tomorrow. You can't count the number of days to come. You can't count the past days. Tomorrow, you'll have to deal with it tomorrow, not today. You'll have to deal with tomorrow, not today. So what you have to do is that you try to somehow manage the day that you are living, or manage the present moment, manage today. Today you are not using, today you are not addicted. Tomorrow we have to deal with it tomorrow, not today. So that way, in a way, you have to live your life day by day, not counting the past days, not thinking about the future, simply living your life today, trying to somehow manage the day, trying to somehow get through the day. So that way, that approach is much better than trying to count the past days or than trying to plan the future. Because you have created an identity with this addiction, it simply doesn't go away like that. Instead, you have to create an alternative identity, somehow creating an alternative identity, you can get rid of the identity you have created with the addiction. So that's the idea, that's the way. In a way, you have to be bigger than the addiction. Currently, what is the problem? Currently, addiction is bigger than you. That's why you get crushed every time. That's why you fail every time. The addiction is bigger than you, and it can simply overpower you. So how to become bigger than the addiction? How can you become bigger than the addiction? That's a good question. Now, when it comes to mindfulness practice, let's say during the mindful walking, you try to walk in a comfortable manner and you try to observe yourself. You try to witness yourself. When you try this, naturally various mind objects come to your mind. They grab your attention. Again and again this happens, but what you try to do is simply become aware that you are walking. Among the sounds, you are walking. Among these thoughts, you are walking. Among these bodily sensations, you are walking. That simple awareness you practice. In a way, you try to be bigger than these mind objects. That's what mindfulness is all about. These objects, they appear in your field of awareness. So if the awareness is bigger, then of course the mind objects, they become smaller. But what happens when you get carried away? The mind object, it becomes bigger. It becomes bigger and it occupies your entire mind. This is what happens with the unmindfulness. And most of the time, it is not a change or a shift between mindfulness and unmindfulness. Instead, simply we are moving in between different levels of unmindfulness. That could be more accurate. You know, it's not about moving between mindfulness and unmindfulness, but you are moving between different levels of unmindfulness. Sometimes you are greatly unmindful, sometimes little bit. Right? So that way, you can see when the objects become bigger than your mind, what happens is that they can simply crush you. They can simply take you away. They can simply overpower you. So that happens in your mind. When you bring attention to the present moment, when you try to be present with the walking, when you try to be present with your daily activities, you experience this. Again and again, the mind objects come. They overpower you. They take you away. They distract you. Only after a few seconds, few minutes, that you realize that you got carried away. So this process is happening. You can't get rid of it within few hours, within few days. Instead, gradually, you try to be bigger than these mind objects. How to be bigger? Just simply be conscious, be mindful. Be conscious and know that you hear these sounds. Be conscious and become aware that you get these thoughts. Be conscious and know that your body is walking. So this training, in a way, it is allowing you to be bigger than the mind objects. The mind is the true master. But what happens is that we give power to a certain mind object and it becomes the master and mind becomes the slave. Now with this practice, what you try is simply to be aware. You simply become aware that you are walking. You simply become aware that you are getting various thoughts. You simply become aware that you are feeling these emotions. That very process you have to continue. That very practice you have to do. And when you do it, little by little, you realize, although time to time you get carried away, your mind gradually becomes bigger than these mind objects. That happens. That happens. It's a painstaking process. But little by little, you realize this change is happening in you. Your mind is becoming bigger than the mind objects. When the mind becomes bigger than the mind objects, they can't overpower you. They can't enslave you. The objects are simply objects. Your mind is not moved by them so much. So this you can simply experience in your practice. Let's say sometimes when you sit, you can feel the entire process happening in you. You can hear the sounds. You can feel the thoughts. You know that your body is breathing. A whole lot of sensations, mind objects, you simply experience. A flow of things you start to experience. Different layers you start to experience. And sometimes you wonder, how can I experience this many things at once? I can feel the thoughts. I can feel the bodily sensations. I can feel the sounds. Everything is happening and you are simply witnessing. That experience is not foreign to a regular practitioner. They start to see how everything is flowing in them and they are simply witnessing that flow. So when you have such experiences, you get to know that the mind has the capacity to be bigger than these things. The mind has the capacity. You simply have to support that capacity. With the training, you support. Repetitively, you support. With that repetitive support, you can really experience how the mind is bigger than these mind objects. And it can have a huge impact to your life. When the mind becomes bigger than the mind objects, you simply experience that sometimes in life, you still get carried away, but you are able to recover much faster. You start to feel less and less levels of stress in your day-to-day life. What is the reason? This simple practice. That's the reason. Your mind is becoming bigger than these mind objects. And when your mind is bigger than these objects, your mind can't get lost in these objects. Or these objects can't enslave your mind. Sometimes they enslave temporarily, but soon your mind recovers. So that has a huge impact to your life. Now, somebody was sharing their experience about mindfulness practice, only doing maybe like 3 months of daily practice. This person is saying, usually when I face these type of situations, for days on end, I am stressed. I lose myself. I blame other people. I get angry. But now, due to this practice, I realize that I get angry. And that very realization helps me to release that anger. So the pressure tries to build, or the stress tries to build. But soon, your mind realizes it and it lets go of this stress. It releases the pressure that is building. Maybe earlier it kept building for days on end. Now it is released every few minutes, every few hours. So that is very much helpful. And when you experience it, you realize now you have much lower levels of stress. The stress can't survive in you. The stress can't build in you. Why? Because the mind is simply bigger than these mind objects. So that is the true training. The mindfulness, it is the greatest capacity of your mind. It is simply much bigger than all the mind objects. You simply have to trust this process. You have to go through this training. You have to support this quality of becoming aware. With that repetitive trust, with that repetitive practice, you can see how the mind is becoming bigger than these mind objects. And when it becomes bigger, the stress can't survive in you. The problems can't survive in you. The addictions, they too can't survive in you. That's why I said earlier that you have to be bigger than the addiction. If the addiction is bigger, of course, it'll crush you repetitively. It'll harm you repetitively. It'll enslave you repetitively. But if your mind is bigger, then time to time you get carried away, but soon you can recover. Soon you know that you are addicted and you can let go of it. Right? So this very process we have to go through. And if you want to get rid of these addictions permanently, this is the very process. Otherwise, sometimes we keep counting the days, but it is not helping. Sometimes we get rid of one addiction and become a slave to another. That too is not helping. So what we are doing is simply making our mind bigger than the addiction. When it is bigger, the addiction no longer can survive. Now, there is this nice Zen story about a person who is addicted to smoking. So this person goes to a teacher and tells his issue. He says that I can't get rid of this addiction. Everybody is blaming me for smoking. And how can I stop? How can I get rid of this addiction? The teacher, the master, he says, you have to simply be bigger than the addiction. What is the exercise the master is giving? He's giving this person a funny meditation. What is this funny meditation? He's giving this person a smoking meditation. He says, now you are addicted to cigarettes, you are addicted to smoking, simply continue smoking, keep smoking, but you have to make sure that you are smoking consciously. Like a meditation, you smoke. In Japan, they have this tea meditation idea. Simply sitting for a few minutes, drinking a cup of tea mindfully, being present, witnessing the process. So that's tea meditation. Simply this person, he was assigned with this funny meditation. He came with the idea of getting rid of smoking, but this teacher, he gave him a meditation, a smoking meditation. Only condition was that you simply has to smoke consciously. Like a meditation, you have to do it. Right? So this was the meditation that was given to him. And he comfortably sat with a cigarette. And he lit it and he started smoking. Like a meditator noticing every smoke, noticing the warmth, noticing how it fills his lungs, slowly destroying them, noticing how it goes out of his body. Noticing he's taking another one, simply like the breathing meditation, but with a cigarette, right? So this was the meditation that was given to him. And he did it, and he went to the teacher and said, I did smoke a cigarette, and I did it like that. Then the teacher says, you have to continue. As long as you are awake, you have to continue. Every time you wake up in the middle of the night, you have to continue. So this way, continue again and again, slowly noticing how you are destroying your lungs, slowly noticing how this warm smoke is filling you, slowly noticing how the smoke is going out of you. Simply continue. So that was the funny meditation that was given to him by this Zen teacher. Just like a breathing meditation, but with a cigarette. Right? So this way, he kept smoking for days and days. And finally, in that process of being aware, because of that very awareness, he got rid of his addiction. He no longer had the craving to smoke. Why? Because his mind became bigger than the addiction. What was the difference in this process? Earlier also he smoked. During this period also, he smoked. What was the difference? He was aware. He was aware. He was conscious of this process. He was conscious that this is an addiction. He was conscious that this is destroying his body. He was conscious of every smoke that he took. Right? So that way, the difference was the consciousness. Now somebody might question this method. This could be really harmful, giving more and more drugs to an addict. Yeah, that's the thing. But somehow, in this process, being the observer, being conscious of this, gradually this person became bigger than the addiction. The difference is consciousness. Difference is mindfulness, becoming conscious, becoming mindful. In this world, if you want to enjoy something, you have to get lost in that process. That is there. Whatever you do, if you get lost in that process only, you can enjoy it. If you become conscious, then you can't enjoy it. You might enjoy it little by little, but again and again you become conscious and that enjoyment goes away. So this is there. That's why most people, they say drink and dance. First you have to drink. You have to become less conscious of yourself. And then only you can dance freely. When you go to a party, first you have to take a drink. Afterwards, you dance. And there was this video on YouTube. Somebody goes to few heavy drinkers and asks them, why do you drink? And the answer is that they say, I want to forget my problems. I want to be free for a few hours. I want to dance and talk to other people. So you can see, you have to become less conscious in order to enjoy this world. That's why they say drink and dance, not dance and drink. Instead, you have to drink first, become less conscious, then only you can enjoy. So this is there. That's what happening in this world. If you want to really enjoy this world, you have to have certain level of ignorance within you. Without that ignorance, you can't really enjoy. Nobody can. Right? So that's why the ignorance is so much promoted in this world as various ways, as drugs, other methods of drugs, or maybe certain addictions. Various ways are there. They are promoting ignorance. If you want to enjoy this world, you have to take a packet of this ignorance. You have to take a shot of this ignorance. With that packet, with that shot, you can really enjoy this world. But try to become conscious, try to become aware. You can't enjoy anything. You can be addicted to something that's really bad. But still, if you become conscious, you can no longer enjoy it. You might be enjoying something so precious to you, but still, if you become conscious, that enjoyment is no longer there. So you can really try this in your life. Try to become conscious in worst things that you are doing. Still, you are doing it, but try to become conscious and see how it feels. Not just once, not just twice, but repetitively you have to do this observation. Time after time you have to do this observation. Right? When you do it, when you do that observation, you realize you can no longer enjoy it. When you are conscious, you can't enjoy it. So that was the trick that's used here. This person went with an addiction, smoking addiction, and the teacher simply gave him the exercise of smoking consciously. Modern day doctors might not recommend this, but that's what happened, and he slowly realized that his mind has the capacity to be bigger than the addiction. That ability we have. But you can't rush this process. You have to allow it to happen gradually, naturally. And when it happens, no addiction can survive in you. No problem can survive in you. No difficulty can survive in you. Why? Simply, your mind is bigger. The problems come, they try to exhaust us. As they used to do, they try it. But soon your mind is released because your mind is simply bigger than this problem. The stress comes from your day-to-day life. It tries to overpower you, but soon your mind becomes released because it is bigger than this stress. So this is the real change that is happening within you. Simply your mind has the capacity to be bigger than these things. You have to trust it. You have to support it. You have to exercise it. And when you do it, soon you realize you become bigger than these trivial things. You become bigger than these problems. You become bigger than the stress. You become bigger than the addictions. And when you become bigger, nothing can harm you. That's the very idea. So you can really put this into practice. When you might have various addictions, we are not asking you to stop today. We are not asking you to stop within a week. That might not be possible. Simply continue with whatever you are doing, but try to be conscious in that process. Maybe you are doing certain unwholesome things. That's fine. Just continue and try to be conscious in that process. Try to be conscious that you are doing this thing. Try to be conscious that you might be harming your family. You might be harming yourself. That very consciousness will save you. That very consciousness will allow you to be bigger than these addictions or the things. So that's the idea for today. Thank you for listening. Namantha, you can take over.
Thank you and much merits to Venerable Bhante for a very insightful way of overcoming addiction through mindfulness. I'm sure a lot of you would have gained a lot of good ideas on how to apply this in day-to-day life and gain benefit. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Bandula to commence with the question and answer session, and I will share the screen for the slide for introductory content. You have to unmute. Okay, all good.
Asaya Bhante, dear Dhamma friends, you all are welcome to the question and answer session. So mindfulness for beginners. So there are, as usual, there are two videos, the mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can allocate time daily. Start practicing mindfulness. Continue training to complete at least 2 hours of each practice in total. So this guide will be helpful for the beginners. If someone joined today, just gives the instructions what you have to do. So once you finish walking, sitting practice, then you can write down your experience. It's called a reflection report with a question or a statement. Mindful can be either mindful walking or mindful sitting. It's good to write both mindful walking and mindful sitting. So please describe in your report what you felt while walking and sitting, and what you recognize as your walking and sitting postures through mindfulness. So in the walking, you have the Your main object is to focus on texture of a ground, the pressure points on the sole, how the body weight shift from one leg to other. For sitting, for your the sensations such as pressure points, incoming and outgoing breath at nostrils, or if you use raising of the abdomen. So please send your report to the Google form given, or you can write to email address. So continue mindful practice according to advice given. So recordings, the previous recordings are available in Nisarvamane website, nisarvam.lk, the links given here. So this is encourage you all to write reports, so that will helpful to continue your practice. Now, there is a one question today. So with the permission of Bantes, I'll read the question. So report, first report, mindful walking. Walk outside in the local area. Fast foot movement at the start that slowed down after a few minutes. Pressure and rigidity of leg noted when placed on the ground. Lighter weight and moving through air noticed when each foot was lifted. Recognize air contacting face, neck and hands. Felt cold. Various sites were in range of vision, although these were less prominent in mind. Do not remember hearing any sounds. Attention moved between sign of walking body and breath. Walk for 35 minutes. Afterward, a pulsating electric charge noted, as if body had broken up to lumps of energy. Mindful sitting. Sat on the low stool. After a body scan, a stream of thoughts appeared and passed away. Breath noticed around nostril. Thoughts arose again and passed. Noted some of the thoughts were reflection of a previous Dhamma discussion. Attention returned to now subtle breath. Pressure felt. Felt cool wave arising and passing. Calmness appeared. Different mind objects move like on a conveyor belt. Breath noted again. Sat for an hour. Feeling of ease continued after the sitting session. Mindfulness during the day. Awareness was sharper with mundane tasks during the week. For example, recognize the collection of actions known as brushing teeth. With the multitude of actions known as cooking, there were more mindfulness, such as noticing the point at which cold water becoming less cold and slowly feeling warm, then hot water pouring from under the mixer tap. Movement of picking up knife in one hand, tightening grip round the handle, holding the vegetable with other hand, and the rhythmic action of cutting observed. Sound of cutting noted. Thoughts and some memories would also arise and pass away with minor impact. There was more focus with client work too. Felt less like work, mind less tired. When a headache arose and persisted, intuitively rested in bed. Between periods of client sessions, as was working from home that day, attention went to the most prominent feeling of headache. Then it felt like warm and sharp waves rising and disappearing around temple or forehead area. After another while, observe momentary gaps between sharp waves. Although it is referred to by the word headache, it did not feel like one solid feeling, but a collection of energy rising and passing through with gaps in between. Sometimes warm and sharp pressure notice, some moments it disappeared. So my experience was headache was far from a solid or non-changing feeling. Can the moment when waves of pressure were absent be still called headache? Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and to the organizers. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for presenting that detailed observation. Now, when you do it, you realize how much to observe, how much insight you get into yourself. You do it as walking, sitting, and daily life, and so much insight into yourself you get. Right, so let me start with your one of the observations was like the mind objects are moving on a conveyor belt. It feels like that, and you simply observe, you simply become aware this moment. Different mind objects are there, thoughts, sounds, bodily sensations, various other things, they come and go on this conveyor belt. You simply become the observer. So this is the point I meant when I mentioned you have to be bigger than these mind objects. They used to enslave you, but now simply with the power of mindfulness, you see how they are moved through this conveyor belt. Right? So that's a very nice observation. And you are becoming much bigger than them. No longer they can enslave you. No longer they have that power over you. That's the difference. You may experience this in a sitting session. But when you go back to your daily life, sometimes they become even more powerful. They can overpower you. They can enslave you. But again, you continue with this practice. And with time, definitely the mind becomes bigger. Mind becomes bigger. When you start your practice, the objects, they are bigger than your mind. They enslave you. Gradually, the mind increases its capacity, the consciousness, and gradually you realize how it is becoming a neck-to-neck fight. And one day when you pass a certain level, they become smaller and you can feel that you have passed a certain level and you are feeling incremental levels of peace within. That's because the mind has become bigger than these objects. Still, you lose temporarily, but you can recover much faster, right? So that's the very observation that you are mentioning. And it's a very nice experiment, you know, continually doing this practice, seeing how you can deal with them much better, seeing how you respond to these situations, getting more and more insight into yourself, right? So that's why we say you can't give up only by doing walking and sitting. That's not proper. Instead, you have to make sure even dealing with your daily matters, you can continue the same practice. Such information are there in your report. While cooking, while doing other things, while doing your daily chores, how can you be mindful? And when you do it, you realize even the slightest detail of the things that you are doing. For example, that water thing, it's very nice. How cold water becomes hot and the boundary in between two, right? So that's a very nice observation. That's a sharp observation. Usually what happens is that we know that it's cold water and suddenly it'll hit you that it's hot water. You didn't know that there was a transition in between. Why you didn't know? Because you were not conscious enough. That happens in our daily life. Suddenly, you are happy. Next moment, you are sad. What happened? You may ask. You didn't see the transition. This moment, you are happy. Next moment, you are sad. In between, there is a transition. In breath, out breath, there is a transition. Usually, we don't feel the boundary. We don't feel the transition. We feel that in breath stopped and suddenly the out breath started. And that's not how it happens. Instead, there is a gray area, a boundary or a transition in between the in breath and the out breath. Your attention might not be strong enough to notice it. But if your attention is very sharp, you will notice that there is a gray area in between. That gray area is the ignorance part in us. We know that it is cold. We know that it is hot. But we don't see the transition in between. Right? So when you do this keen observation, you start to realize how happiness becomes sadness. How in-breath becomes out-breath. How anger becomes sympathy. Right? So these transitions you start to observe when your observation is very sharp. So that's a great achievement. Now you start to see this gray area in between. Neither black nor white. Transition between the in-breath and the out-breath. Transition between the happiness and the sadness. Transition between anger and sympathy. Right? So these things are hidden. Hidden in the darkness of ignorance. But when your mindfulness becomes sharp, you start to see. Not in the outside world, but even inside you. So this is a good observation leading towards that direction. You see how the hot cold water becomes hot. You see that gray area. So in your mind also this is happening again and again. See how happiness ends. What happens at the end. And how it becomes sadness. How the in-breath ends, what happens at the end, and how it becomes the out-breath. How the anger ends, what happens at the end, and how it becomes sympathy. Right? So that way, you can continue this valuable observation. Then there was this another comment about observing a headache. That's very nice because usually we numb ourselves to the sickness or the pain. But here you kept alert, you kept your observation. And when you do it, you realize it's not a solid headache. It's not a solid headache. Instead, it's a combination of things. And when you go deep into that observation, it is no longer uncomfortable. It is no longer painful. Why? Now it is not solid. Now you see the bits and pieces of what's called headache. Right? So that's a good observation. And if you numb yourself to the headache, you won't see this. You won't see this. Now you realize it's not a solid headache. Instead, it consists of bits and pieces. It is built out of Legos. When you build something out of a Lego set, it appears solid. But next moment, you separate it and the Legos appear. Right? So this is the very thing. When it is solid, it is overwhelming. It's a headache. It's pain, aching. But when you break it into bits and pieces, It's no longer overwhelming, right? So this is what you have to do. Whatever that comes, just inquire it. See how it is built. Nothing is solid in this world. Let it be anger, let it be emotions, let it be problems, let it be pain in your body. Whatever that's come towards you, simply see how they are built. See that they are not solid. See it's built out of Legos. Right? So that very observation is valuable, and you have to somehow endure certain kind of a pain in order to do that observation. Otherwise, it won't come to you. If you prioritize your comfort, then you can't have such experiences. So that's why we say sometimes you should stop numbing yourself with this medication, the painkillers, and simply notice what this sickness is. Simply notice how it feels. Start with a headache. Start with a cold. Try to see whether you can survive it without, you know, numbing yourself, without any painkillers. Gradually, your pain threshold becomes higher and you can bear even greater illnesses. But you have to start slow. You have to start with a simple thing like a headache, like a cold, and see how can you survive this illness, this difficulty without numbing yourself. So those are the ideas that comes to my mind when I hear your report. Continue this practice and you'll have more and more insight into yourself.
Thank you, Bhante. And it's a very nice explanation. And thank you for the person who wrote the report. It's quite in detail, and there's something to learn for me as well. Thank you, Bhante. So with your permission, Bhante, now we'll open to raise any questions. If someone has any questions about the yoga, your practice, you can ask a question, raise your Zoom. Samantha, you can unmute.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante. That was a very helpful and very interesting, valuable talk. I was just wondering now, Bhante said now when you become mindful, mindful, the awareness, the consciousness increases and that becomes bigger to control the stress eventually. Just being aware and conscious of the stress, what is it that makes the other one, the negative situation, reduce? How does that actually work? Is that just does it happen immediately or would it happen slowly? I suppose I'm asking my own question. I had to try it out and see easily. I mean, it works, like, you know, sometimes, you know, if people, like, you know, when you got negative feelings and emotions that linger on, isn't it? The secondary state. That's what I was wondering, Bhante. Thank you. The mechanism, yeah.
Right. So simply as mindfulness, what we do, what we practice is not getting carried away, becoming conscious without getting carried away. That's what we do, right? That's the ability that we are supporting. That's the practice that we do. And initially, for a beginner, they realize they get carried away a lot. Yesterday also, I met somebody. He was saying that he couldn't be mindful. I asked him why. Then he said, I can't concentrate. My mind is not with the walking. My mind is not with the breathing. Then I asked him, how long did you walk? He said, like 40 minutes I did the walking, like 20 minutes I did the sitting. Then I asked him, during those 40 minutes, didn't you feel your body at even once? During those 20 minutes, didn't you feel your breath even at once? Then he was saying, I felt the body, but I couldn't concentrate. I felt the breathing, I couldn't concentrate. So he's saying that he could maybe observe like few breath cycles, but the mind goes away. It is getting lost in different things. He could observe few steps, but mind goes away, getting lost in different things. So this is natural to a beginner. They realize the unmindfulness is stronger than the mindfulness. The objects are bigger than the mind. That's fine. But at least for like few steps, the mind becomes bigger. You can be mindful at least for few steps. And you can do it repetitively during those 40 minutes. You can be mindful at least for few breath cycles. You can do it repetitively during those 20 minutes. So that's the very idea. When your mind gets carried away, the objects are bigger, they enslave you. But when you improve your mindfulness little by little, at least try to observe a single breath. When you observe a single breath, that very breath, that very observation, your mind is bigger than the object. You simply observe. Right? So that's how it happens. Gradually, painstakingly, you have to do it. Little by little, you have to do it. One breath at a time. One step at a time. And you don't have to think about it. Think about the progress that much. How will this help? How can I improve my capacity like this? You don't have to wonder that much. You don't have to think about that much. Instead, simply one step at a time. One breath at a time. Initially, this feels like an impossible task. It's impossible to do this, you may feel initially. But these impossible things, if you do one step at a time, one breath at a time, gradually you can do this. That's why they ask how to eat an elephant. One bite at a time. That's the answer. If you start thinking about the elephant, then of course it's impossible. But simply one bite at a time. You eat a bite, then rest for 5 minutes, then again eat another bite. Within few days, you'll eat an elephant. Right? So that's the idea. That's the very way. If you just think about it, this is more like impossible. But just continue with the practice, one step at a time, one breath at a time. And without you even knowing, within few weeks, within few months, you realize your mind becomes bigger than these objects.
Thank you, Bhante. That's very helpful. I think I may have actually even now, when I remember it, so say if my mind is sort of like proliferating all sorts of things, and then when I had to go and do the wash the dishes, like once, and I was washing the dishes, then I was like engaged in washing the dishes one by one, and I realized afterwards, my mind was calmer, and it was more much happier than the situation it was in before. So bit by bit, I think as Bhante mentioned, I think being mindful, I think that will, it's really being in the present, it's more helpful and useful than just sitting there daydreaming and proliferating. Thank you, giving to God. That's helpful.
Yeah, that's the thing. Doing your dishes, you don't think it's a relaxing task. You feel like it's another headache in your daily things and you don't like them. But what you do is simply just enjoy this little chore or a task and try to continue with it. And at the end of the day, when you finish the task, you realize it helped you to relax. It was like a relaxing activity, right? So this is the very approach that you have to take. I know that you are busy, you don't have much time to do the formal meditation. But whatever you do, do it as a meditation. It could be doing your dishes. Try to see it as a meditation. And do it for a few minutes. After 15, 20 minutes, you feel much more relaxed and much more comfortable in your mind. Then you wash your clothes, whatever you do, sweeping, cooking, cooking, right? So daily activities, we can do them, approach them as meditation. That initial mindset is important. I'm doing it as a meditation. I'm approaching it as a meditation. That way you have to continue. Within few weeks, within few months, you can feel a real impact.
Thank you, Bhante. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhante. Yeah, there's a time, yeah, a few minutes if someone has a question. Okay, if there's no question, then I'll take the opportunity. Thank you, Bhante, for your time and with the valuable advice for us. Then I'll pass to Namanta to continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and much merits, Bandur Uncle, and much merits to Venerable Bhante for taking a lot of effort and explaining everything in depth through the talk and the Q&A. It's a very wonderful contribution from Venerable Bhante. Now we are going to wrap up the program, the session for today. I would like to share all the merits gained with Venerable Bhante, Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, for being kind enough to dedicate Bhante's effort and time from Bhante's own schedule for our benefit like this, giving us valued insight, guidance, and also in-depth teaching on mindfulness. So thank you, Bhante, and may these merits have a positive knock-on impact on Bhante's own progress into mindfulness into the future, and may Bhante have a long and healthy life in the path of mindfulness practice. Furthermore, I would like to share and associate these merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisaravanaya Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayirekama Dhammajiva Mahathero, who has requested this program to be realized in this manner. And we share these merits with the Chief Bhante and wish him a long life and good health, and wish that his own practice in mindfulness and his efforts become fulfilled and he achieved great progress. Furthermore, I would like to associate these merits with the wonderful organizers of this program. May their own practices in mindfulness flourish into the future, and they may they also reap many benefits. I would like to thank all of you who have joined into the Zoom session and also in the Facebook live stream for giving us the backbone to sustain the program by attending a Zoom session online in this manner. Thank you. And I would like to share all these merits again with each and every one of you. And I wish that your own mindful practices or mindfulness practices will flourish into the future, and you will see your mental development or mindfulness development happening and reap all the benefits you can. So the program will continue same way next week. This is a program with a weekly format of occurrence. We will have the program again, Sri Lankan time, 1 p.m. Every Saturday, next Saturday included. And I would like to see all of you join the next session as well. And I will end the Zoom session now and wish you all a mindful and happy week ahead, and wish that you can practice these highly valued concepts learned today in an applied format in day-to-day life. Many merits to all of you, and we will see you next week. Thank you.